141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy day in Scottish football. Rangers win their appeal against the red card shown to Mohamed Diomande at Tannadice on Sunday. Celtic are in Birmingham ready to take on Aston Villa as a familiar face joins in training this morning. And the search is on for a new Motherwell manager after yesterday's shock announcement regarding Stuart Kettlewell. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Motherwell's Andy Halliday and Gordon Dale.
It's all happening. Great talking points at the weekend. You know that I've now changed to a Monday bath time. I put my big toe in the water last night, and I could not believe when I heard that Stuart Kettlewell had resigned from Motherwell. Andy's absolutely shattered tonight. Today, it's all about Diomande, quite rightly so, overturned. Worst decision I've seen in a long while. I defend the referees every single week on this programme, but sorry, I can't defend that decision. And then it's on to another great couple of nights in Europe for Celtic and Rangers.
Andy, before we get your general thoughts, obviously it has been a big day for your club, your teammates. What is your reaction to everything that's going on?
Yeah, genuinely in shock. Quite glad I was switched my usual Monday shift to tonight to give myself sort of 24 hours to sort of gather my thoughts, because certainly wasn't expecting it. Don't think my teammates were expecting it either. And listen, I can only sort of say my thoughts. Stuart Kettlewell is a manager, someone I get along with really well. Obviously gutted and disappointed he's left. And the sort of sad nature of football is, as you go in this morning and you try and get on with your job, but obviously extremely difficult and something that kind of took us aback.
Well, if you've got any questions around that one, Motherwell fans, give us a call. I'm sure we'll elaborate further with Andy, but give us a shout, whatever the topic is. He's part Motherwell player, part pundit here tonight. So 01419511025. Do give us a call. Let us know what is on your mind. Of course, the big news breaking in about the last half hour or so, Mohamed Diomande won't serve any suspension. That red card has been rescinded after the incident at Tannadice at the weekend. My guess would be most people expected that, but you know, we live to be shocked on this show. So do give us a call either way. Give us all your thoughts there. I suppose it would be a bit of a relief for you Rangers fans, because it didn't impact the game at the weekend. He won't serve a suspension. That's not to say you're happy about it, but in terms of impact, I suppose it's moving on in that regard. Celtic fans, Aston Villa away. How do you feel about that challenge? Before the show is out, we're going to cross live to Birmingham. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. Jota trained with his new / old teammates this morning. He, of course, can't play. Obviously, Kyogo's gone as well. Maeda sent off in the last game. So how's that attack looking ahead of the game tomorrow night? And any leftover thoughts about that double piece of transfer business yesterday, do give us a call. And anything else that's out there, 0141 951 1025. A very, very busy midweek, Gordon.
It certainly is. It's never ending now, you know, with the transfer window closes next Monday. Is that right, 3rd? 11 o'clock. So teams will still be trying to do a bit of business, Gordon. Big news, obviously, from Celtic's point of view, with this Kyogo leaving, Jota coming in. I think there'll be one or two more coming in at Celtic Park, and I think Celtic fans will be excited about that. I'd be very surprised if they didn't bring in a centre-forward. I know there's the opinion out there that Jota could play in the left-hand side, Maeda could get in there, they've got Ida, they've got Ken. So they've got options, but I would be very surprised if they didn't bring someone else in. But I'm looking forward to this game tomorrow night, Aston Villa. I think it'll be a terrific game for Celtic. They'll go down there with a lot of confidence. And then Rangers at home Thursday night. And you know, usually a Thursday night at Ibrox is usually very good for Rangers. So I think it could be a positive Wednesday and Thursday for the Scottish clubs.
Yep, come on, you want to talk about European football, you can. 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. Any Motherwell fans out there, it was very busy with you last night, lots of you trying to get in touch. What does another day on look like? Because a quick glance at social media tells you there's a bit of toing and froing going on there. And ultimately, as football never stands still, the search for a new manager is on. So if you've got any names for us, do throw them in. Just where we line the calls up, how would you describe the mood at training this morning?
Very flat, as I'm sure you can imagine. Sorry, he was a, like I said, I think he was a manager all the players got along with and resonated with well. Obviously, in the sort of short period I've had at the club, we've had some positive results. We feel as if we're in a decent place this season, albeit not in the greatest of form. But I think just because it came so unexpected, us as teammates sort of hearing the news the exact same time as everybody else did.
Is that the way it was, that you didn't see it coming? Or
no, didn't see it coming personally. I don't think anyone did. And listen, just extremely disappointed. I mean, not only when you respect a manager, you like a manager, but when you like the person as well, obviously you feel for them, whatever, whether they lose the job or walk away for the job.
Were you off yesterday?
Yeah, which was pre-planned. So that wasn't alternated last minute. So that was pre-planned, just given the backlog of fixtures we've had over the recent weeks, and the game being Sunday, so it was always planned.
Let's cut to the chase. The good thing in this environment we've got you, we can press you on your honesty. When a manager leaves, generally some people in the dressing room won't be bothered. That's just the way it works. And any time a manager's under pressure, you hear this of kind of lost the dressing room and all that sort of stuff. Was there any hint of that?
No. I obviously can't speak for every single individual, but I don't think there'll be one player that would be happy to see him leave personally. But listen, you've got to respect his decisions. It's really difficult for him if he feels that his family life's getting affected. His two young boys are getting affected. So, really disappointed. Obviously, I'm not in his shoes to tell his full story. But what I can say from a professional point of view is someone I really enjoyed working with, was hoping to continue working with. But like I said, the brutal nature of football is we've just got to gear up to the next game at the weekend against Celtic.
And it must feel quite disruptive because you've just signed four new players. He has just signed four new players. Mm-hmm. You know, there are big games coming thick and fast. You and other players are out of contract at the end of the season. Is that all the uncertainty that gets brought up in a moment like this?
Yeah, potentially. I think that always comes from new signings. Yes, the manager will play a big part in that, but there's a backroom team, there's almost a network that get involved with signing new players, and the reason they bring new players in is they feel as if they can enhance the squad further from now to the end of the season or further. So, the players are brought in because we feel they're good players to help us out. So I don't think that alternates what the manager thought is, too much. But again, I always say, contract situations, whatever it may be, if you play well, you stay, you got offered something that, my full focus is now, once obviously the news is broke. Obviously Texas manager spoke to him, but then obviously the full focus is just try to look forward towards the weekend.
Oh, listen, surely the new manager is going to want to build his team around guys, Gordon, that have got the composure to score a penalty when they've got the runs at the same time. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry that it's dinner time, but this guy's gone off ill. He's gone off ill at the weekend after sticking his penalty away.
I tell you what, as well.
Is that what you went off for? I just thought you went off to do your usual kiss a badge, wave to the supporters.
That's the type of laser focus we need at this football club.
So you were sitting in the dressing room toilet while St Johnston were banging into late goals.
I know, I didn't even see the last 20 minutes.
The runs must have came a lot faster.
Thankfully, yeah. I've not managed to watch it back either. So
anyway, we shouldn't joke about a serious situation. Final word on it for now. I'm sure we'll take some calls. How did you and the players receive the news that he's citing certain abuse from the stands or impact on the family? Because that's not something we hear a lot. I mean, this is a manager who has chosen to become unemployed. Mm-hmm. He has walked away from employment. He was paid this month, presumably. He will not be paid next month. He's chosen that. What do you make of that?
Again, it's obviously unacceptable if anyone's receiving any type of personal abuse. I think being, in this environment, being a part of football, you've got to expect it at some capacity, but when it's affecting your kids or whatnot, like I says, I can't put myself in the manager's shoes to say exactly what he's went through, but it's obviously extremely difficult, and we're obviously really disappointed. But what I can say is, I think the Motherwell fans towards the team have been great for the most part, but you know what it's like, sometimes that minority is the loudest, and ultimately he's took the decision that it's sort of affecting his family life too much, and he's chose to leave the job.
Okay, I'm sure we get back to that if you so fancy. Between now and 8 o'clock, let's start the phone calls with Andy, another one who's on the line. How are you, Andy?
Yes, good evening, gents. How are we?
Good. And here, what are you thinking tonight?
I'm glad to have got Andy on, because I remember pointing the calls about red cards, and I remember Andy once violently raised his fist celebrating a goal. And received a second caution in the middle of a game.
Disgusting behaviour.
I was disgusted as a Rangers fan that a Rangers player would do such a thing. So moving over to obviously Diamandé and daring to fall backwards as he was shoved, receiving a straight red card for violent conduct. Now, there's been a lot of red cards. I know you've got the VAR show, Gordon, Willie Collins come out and done. And there's a lot of teams receiving some very, very questionable and poor decisions across Scottish football. Most teams, like not all, but most. And there comes a point, what's actually going to happen with our referees that isn't just slaps on the wrist, a week in the championship, or demotion? Because this is now, you know, it's not form, it's just consistently awful for most teams. And I just, what do the pundits, obviously Andy and Gordon as former players, think about the same things happening every single week?
This is on the back of this appeal today, just in case anyone is just switching on. So Rangers have won that appeal, by the way. So Mohamed Diamandé, you've all probably seen the red card incident. Fifth minute of added time, he was sent off. The thing that made it a bit more dramatic is Nick Walsh was called to the monitor, but he stuck with his original decision. That's now been overturned on appeal. Andy wants to know what's going to be done about these things, for want of a better expression.
Well, you've got... The problem is we've not got a riches of top referees. You know what I mean? You can come on here and say, well, what's going to happen to them? Do they get demoted? Do they get sacked? Do they get cautioned? What happens? We've not got a riches of top referees. I've been on this programme constantly defending them, because I think refereeing's one of probably... And Andy plays the game a lot quicker now than I did in my time. But refereeing, I think, it's one of the hardest jobs out there, Gordon. Okay, you can argue they get paid not bad for it. I was honestly astonished when Nick Walsh went over to the screen, had a look at that, could take in a few deep breaths, calm himself down, and come back and make the same decision. I will never understand that. I don't think there was anyone, I don't even think Dundee United fans thought that was a red card, never mind anybody else. And you can't just put it down to, well, it was a mistake, because you got all the time in the world to go and look at that and make the right decision. And why he's made that decision, only Nick Walsh will know about that. But we can't go along every time a referee gets something totally wrong and say, right, okay, let's get rid of them. Because unfortunately for our game, there's not a queue of terrific referees waiting to take his place.
And I've heard this a million times over the years, and we'll continue to, and it's not to say that it's wrong, but when Andy says, you know, it's just a week in the championship, I think that we... quite a kick in the you-know-whats to refs when that happens. Mm-hmm. We spoke about Chris Graham, who was the ref when you, your teammates were involved, the Dan Casey one, which was kind of like this Diamandé
situation.
And who
did they send off 7 days later?
He sent off Scott Allen at Celtic, so he went to League One, not the Championship. And I know we should be focused on Scottish football, and we are, but I don't really feel like there is a perfect system anywhere. Mm-hmm. You watch loads of football. Michael Oliver, who's considered the best referee in the world, or one of the best refs in the world, they're having the same conversation about him now at the weekend. And English football fans are saying, this is a disgrace, this can't happen, how is he going to be punished? I think we're looking for a solution that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and I've defended referees at times this season as well, because I feel like they're held to a stigma with a clear and obvious error. I think it's a real burden on referees when it comes to, you know, overturning decisions, especially when it comes to VAR. But I think in this case at the weekend, you know, sometimes when you go through your VAR review with Willie Colm, we actually get to hear the explanation from the referees and the VAR audio. I'd be very, very interested to hear Nick Walsh's explanation when he actually watches it back, because, listen, ultimately the right decision's been made, but it's been overturned 2 days too late. You know, Nick Walsh had a chance to watch that for a second and a third time with different angles and still remained, you know, still kept the same decision. Listen, I found it baffling. Yes, we can say it was an 85th minute and it didn't affect the result, which is true, but still, to come to that decision, yes, again, in full flow, you might have seen something that you never. It's as simple as that. You got that second chance, you got the third chance, but to stick with the same decision was baffling.
I mean, Andy, Nick Walsh was on UEFA duty last midweek. He, funnily enough, sent off two Union Saint-Gilloise players who will now not be able to take part against Rangers this midweek. I don't know if you'd heard that. But if we start sort of sacking these guys or removing these guys forever, you presumably replace them with people who are even less experienced, believe it or not, or are even more likely to make these mistakes. What is it that you're looking for? What do you think is the solution?
Just to Andy's point there and your point, Gordon, the Michael Oliver situation, I don't think was a red either. But what I can forgive is a referee making a decision I don't agree with in a high-pressure situation. Title race is on, Arsenal struggling, tackles flying in, and the studs were upright. I still don't think that was a red.
Oh, by the way, I'm not saying it was as bad a mistake or anything. I'm talking the sort of, I'm talking about the sort of reaction, the discourse that now goes around a perceived mistake. Because you're right, that actually isn't that big a mistake. But yet they're acting like it is. You know, they're acting like this is the biggest talking point in world football at the weekend. When so I'm more interested in the way that these things are dealt with in the aftermath. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I want to say on that is, it was the 95th minute. You can't get any less pressurised a game where Rangers are playing for nothing. It's 3-1 and you've got all the time in the world, and he still chose to make the wrong decision. And that's my deliberate word in there. What do you do for that type of thing where, like Andy says, we're very keen to hear what Willie Collum says? There does come a point. Nick Walsh isn't a new referee either. Nick Walsh has been around for plenty of years. Not my favourite referee by any means. I don't think we have many favourite refs, to be honest, in football, especially in Scotland, but I don't think the guy's particularly good. Can it get much worse then than actually bringing through a fresh batch of referees, because we seem to have a lot of the same faces? And actually, a few weeks ago, the Newcastle-Bournemouth game, the 4-1 Bournemouth, was a relatively new referee for the English Premier League, and the guy was sensational. The way he let the game go and the football was fantastic because, in part, to the refereeing performance. We don't have that in Scotland. We've got guys that either don't know the rules or are choosing when to apply the rules, because this is such a basic situation for me.
See, to be honest, we do have a batch of new refs in the Scottish Premiership this season. We do. That's just factually, they're there. And also, Andy says, could it be any worse? I think, I don't want to be unfair, but if you watch League One or League Two or the Lowland League or the West of Scotland League, I think you would probably phone this show and say, yes, it can. It can get worse, and be careful what you wish for. So whilst I get the frustrations, Gordon, I've still not heard even close to something that is a solution that would work. This notion, you know, you don't have to like Nick Walsh, you don't have to agree that he's one of the top refs, but he is. To the point that he was on UEFA duty last midweek, as I said, sent off to Union Saint-Gilloise players. I cannot remember. It might be Nick Walsh. There's a Scottish refereeing team either on VAR or something in the Bologna Champions League game this midweek. So I'm not saying you have to agree that they're good, but you want to take those guys out and then promote. We always hear that people are promoted too fast or that these people aren't ready, yet that's what we keep saying needs to happen. So I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, you've seen, look, I looked at the Clyde game at the weekend, and the referee down there missed two of the most blatant penalty kicks you'll ever see in your life. The guy was actually standing holding the ball and he still didn't blow his whistle for a penalty kick. It was that bad.
What are you doing watching Clyde?
I just watch. I'm a football geek. I just watch everything.
Absolute lie.
I do, Andy. But what I've got to say is, yeah, Nick Walsh was totally at fault. Where I think that it'll only get better, I don't believe in sacking these guys or whatever, right? Because you're right, Gordon. They're getting jobs in European games, so they're well thought of. Whether you like them or not, everybody's got their own preference to a referee. But the one thing I think we've got right in that department is your pal, Willie Young.
Who's Willie Young?
Willie Young. Willie Collum. Sorry, Willie. I don't know why I said Willie Young there. I was thinking, Willie Collum, right? And I think Willie Collum, given time, I think he's doing a lot of good stuff. And I think it'll only get better.
But I think there's only so much you can do, right?
I know, but you can set the standards. And I think, Willie, in time, we'll get these standards up where people will have to react to them.
Well, one thing I will agree in that respect is I think, you know, the referees are never going to be perfect, and how we view them are never going to be perfect. But I think there's a couple of things that people have asked for quite a lot, or quite frequently over the last few years. One was transparency. You know, they wanted answers. They wanted referees to be held accountable, just like a manager would if mistakes were made. I think Willie Collum's actually put himself out there obviously with the VAR review and being front and centre to talk about decisions rightly or wrongly. And I think that's been refreshing. I think that's been an improvement. I still think a big thing for me is certain tweaks made to VAR. You know, I've said it so many times about the clear and obvious error, but I don't think that defends the situation at the weekend.
But that needs to come from IFAB, though. This if you want to remove the clear and obvious error caveat, that has to come across the world. Mm-hmm.
I'm not pinpointing that on Scottish referees. I think for VAR to be used more efficiently, I think that's something to be added in. But like I was saying, I don't think that's an excuse that could be made at the weekend, because it was a clear and obvious error. You did get the chance to look at it a second or a third time, and I just don't know how the decision remained the same with a red card.
Thank you, Andy. 01419511025. Good time to call, whether it is the successful appeal, whether it is Birmingham Aston Villa away tomorrow, whether it's Stuart Kettlewell, Motherwell, or anything else. Give us a call and we'll speak next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
And the Halliday is here, Gordon DL alongside him. 01419511025. We've done a bit on Rangers' successful appeal against the red card shown to Mohamed Diomande. If you want to keep that going, you can do. I suspect the back end or later in the show is going to be Celtic heavier, because Brendan Rodgers is set to do his press conference. I thought it was going to be 6 o'clock. I think there's a slight delay on that, so we'll cross live to Birmingham, get the inside track from everything ahead of Aston Villa, hear from Brendan Rodgers, all that sort of stuff. So Celtic fans, how are you going to line up tomorrow? Because Kyogo's gone, in case you hadn't heard. Daizen Maeda suspended. Cameron Carter-Vickers didn't train today, so we'll get an update on him. And of course, too early to play players like Jota. So get all your thoughts in, please. Loads of big stories doing the rounds though, and Ian wants to talk about one of the other ones. Ian, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks, yourselves.
Not bad, Ian, not bad. So you're a Motherwell fan. How did you receive this news yesterday?
I was disappointed. I think I'm probably one of the majority that wanted Kettlewell to stay. However, the loud minority have got their wish and he's out the club. But I don't really like the way it's been handled. I think I watched your interview this afternoon with Stephen O'Donnell, who quite critical of the support, and that doesn't sit right with me either, because it's a minority of support that's got Kettlewell the sack or to resign. But I feel like out of this, you know, Stuart Kettlewell's come out of this well, the players have come out of this scot-free, and the support have taken the complete blame of it, which isn't really fair when you look at the performances the players have put in for the last month. Some of them have been embarrassing. You've got Andy Halliday there, who came out after the Cup game saying that the players never gave 100%. That's unacceptable.
Did you see that?
I didn't specify that the players didn't give 100%. My words were, and I remember it was, you know, I've been at the club long enough to know that the fans expect, you know, they can accept off days in terms of performances, but the minimum they want you to give as a team is 100%, and we just felt as if we felt short on that day. I wasn't saying individuals didn't give it maximum, but I think on that day, I think everyone just could appreciate it was a complete off day and no one was at it.
I get this, Ian, because I've seen it, and obviously you know how sort of involved personally I would be on this topic compared to others, but it's not nice. I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing now Motherwell fans getting their backs up, because so you don't like it when people say things that aren't very nice about your fan base, and that's kind of what it is. And people are quick to say, "Ah, but it's not all Motherwell fans, and it's a small number that have made Stuart Kettlewell feel that way." I don't think anyone is saying that it's not a small number, to be fair, Ian, are they? But is it? I mean, you mentioned something in there about Stuart Kettlewell's come out of this well. Stuart Kettlewell had a job yesterday and today he doesn't. So I know what you mean in terms of like reputation maybe, or not taking criticism, but I don't really understand this notion that I'm seeing in social media that it was sort of easy for him to do this, or convenient for him to do this, or jumped before he was pushed, or whatever the phrase is. Like I say, Stuart Kettlewell was employed yesterday. He had a job and he's now chosen not to. So I don't think he's really in a brilliant position this morning either, is he?
No, I wouldn't say he's in a brilliant position. What I meant by that is he's come out of this and rightly so, like, people in the media and that are backing him up for what's been said. I don't agree with, you know, if you want to criticise somebody for, you know, a football player for their performance, then there's, you know, there's ways to go about it. And if it goes to the point where, you know, Kettlewell or anybody else just feels like their family can't attend a game, then it's obviously crossed the line. And I condone that completely.
Condemn, don't get the two mixed up.
Yeah. Say again, sorry.
You condemn it, you don't condone it.
Yeah, I condemn it, sorry. what I mean is, he's going to make this, you know, his stock's relatively high. Yeah. He's done a good job.
I get that,
And I'll be honest, I don't think he'll be at a job for very long. Mm. You know, I think there'll be clubs in Scotland we'll be looking at him just now. I just feel like, I know people are saying it's a small minority of the support, but I feel like the supporters have taken an absolute bath of him the last 24 hours. And I feel like, you know, I've been everywhere the last, pretty much the full season to watch Motherwell. The last kind of 6 weeks have been extremely poor. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the one thing that annoyed me was some of Stephen O'Donnell's comments. But then you watch the highlights in the game at the weekend, Stephen O'Donnell barely lifts himself off the ground to jump for a header in the last 3 minutes of a game where we're fighting for a point. You're thinking, well, you want to criticise support, that's fair enough, but have a look at yourself first and foremost, because that performance isn't acceptable.
Again, see, to be fair, and like, he's not here, he can speak for himself, having been the one who was, I didn't get the impression he was being particularly critical of the support as such, Gordon. I think it's just, this is a strange one where, look, it's very personal. I think the reaction to this has been really strange, because for the reasons that we're talking about with Ian, I know why fans are getting their back up. They want people to stick up for them, and I'll be the first to do it and say, of course it's not all Motherwell fans. Of course it's not even close to all Motherwell fans. It would be a tiny number. So that, let's let that be said. But it's a real personal thing for Stuart Kettlewell, and I feel like the reaction's been weird, because I've seen a lot of people today saying, abuse? Well, I've not heard any. And I think that as a response is wildly off the mark. Or, you know, well, it can't have been that bad, or I've not heard any. If Stuart Kettlewell's kids are coming home in tears and saying they don't want to go back and don't want their dad to be in that environment, that's kind of just between them. Because you've not seen it or you've not experienced it, I don't think is really relevant.
Yeah, and people will come out and say, well, hold on a minute, Stuart was very vocal to the officials on the touchline or whatever. Look, it's a difficult time for Motherwell. Nobody expected this. I says to you, Gordon, when I heard it last night, I was absolutely shocked. I live in Motherwell, I live not that far away from Pratt Park, never heard anything about it. Andy's had to come in tonight. It's a difficult time for Andy and the players to come out and comment on it, because they had a working relationship with this guy. So whether they like him or don't, that was their manager up until yesterday, and all of a sudden this is thrown on them. Look, I've heard, when I was talking to Motherwell fans today about the situation.
Asda?
No, I was in the gym, as you can tell.
50% chance it was going to be one of those.
Right, okay. And, you know, the general chat was, like Ian was saying there, in the last 6 or 7 weeks, as much as everybody's looking at this table and thinking fifth for any Motherwell manager's great, right? But the fans had sort of turned off from the football, the way they went out of the Scottish Cup. One shot on target up at Perth, McDermott Park. And then they went up the following, obviously at the weekend, they lose two goals within 2 or 3 minutes. And it just adds to that with the supporters. Look, the supporters will back them 100%. They've every right, they pay their money, it's a lot of money. It's a hard graft now going to football, especially over these months when the weather conditions, everything, they're travelling up and down the country to support their team. They're entitled to be... give the criticism. Players like Andy, myself and Pass have taken that criticism. It's no nice, let me tell you. You go home and you take it home with you sometimes. And I think that's what's happened to Stuart. I think Stuart's now taken that into the family environment. And the most important thing in life is, first and foremost, is your family. And he's now obviously out of job. But I agree, I think he's done that good a job, he'll be back in football shortly.
Where do you stand on Ian's kind of core point, Andy, this now, this sort of accusation or this narrative that's out there that Motherwell fans as a whole are evil, brutal, unforgiving, and now no manager's going to want to come into that environment, and the, you know, all the fans being tarred with the same brush, that sort of thing.
Well, listen, Stuart Kett will ultimately, whether it be in a day's time, a week's time, a month's time, he's got, he'll come out at some point, the media will address the situation, and I've no doubt he'll speak very, very highly of the club, no doubt at all, because he had such a passion for the club. No, the ambition the club had, the way it was run, how academy driven it was, and looking at youth development and his relationship with the fans, I've no doubt at all that that will come. But knowing him as a man and knowing him as a manager, first and foremost, Motherwell have lost a top manager in my opinion. I think they've lost out a top manager. And Stuart Kettlewell as a man is no different to Stuart Kettlewell as a player. He's someone that would tackle anything head on. When you're in the front of the trenches, you take a guy that you want with him. So for him to have come to this decision, listen, it's there. He's feeling it within his family life, his personal life. But again, I'll reiterate what I says. It's the loud minority. It's ultimately led to him making this decision. But again, he'll say his piece, and I've no doubt we'll have a lot of positive things to say about the club.
Thank you very much to Ian on the line, 01419 5. Oh, in fact, Ian, if you're still there, can you hear me, Ian?
Yep.
Sorry, I was just going to say, because the unforgiving nature of all this stuff is things move on so quickly. You any thoughts on who your next manager should be?
I don't. A lot of the names that are kind of getting put about don't inspire me. I feel, you know, I've seen people saying Martindale and Scott Brown, but, you know, I looked at Ayr United the weekend. They played with a back five. Now, one of the biggest grumbles with our support was that Kettlewell played with a back five. So if you get somebody like Brown or Martindale who plays similar styles of football, we're just going to be in the same situation 6 months from now.
So what do you want then? Because then we're back to this core argument of like what expectations are, what, you know, what's attainable, where the club is at.
Me, I wanted Kettlewell to stay in the job. We were great to watch at times. However, we were always competitive up until maybe the last couple of weeks. But I think any Motherwell manager who comes in has a 41% win rate, has, you know, kept us in the league the first season when I thought we were certain to get relegated, nearly top six last season. So we're sitting fifth just now, been to Hampden, he's brought in over what, 2.2 million in transfer fees. I mean, I don't really know what more you can ask for a manager. He'll bring in probably close to 5 million more when Len Miller sold.
Well, we need to find somebody that's going to like Andy Halliday. That's
oh, that'll be hard.
We're going to be struggling.
I'll need again. And even then, that'd be my first free.
Fair play to Ian, because that's something, you know, we're also opinionated, but Ian's saying he just doesn't know, just can't think of a name at the moment. If you've got one for us, do share whilst I tell you about this.
Every day is payday.
I mean, look, this is open to you, whoever you support, but if you're a Motherwell fan and you're needing cheered up as an example, £300,000, how would that sound? Friday is the day, and you have to text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get two entries for the price of one text. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rayo Network competition are online, and the lines close 5 p.m. Friday, so do not miss out. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and I nearly said Roger Hannah. He's always on with Roger
Hannah. But you would see the side of the heat out the side of your eye.
It's just autopilot, though.
You know what I mean? It's a beak, not a heat.
It's just autopilot, I'm sorry.
Andy, not a Tuesday.
Halliday.
It's always me on a Tuesday.
I mean, he was closest to me. I saw him first, and usually it was Roger. Calm down, right? Gordon DL.
Thank you.
Andy Halliday are here. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. And you can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. If you want to do that, then please get your thoughts over to us. Lots going on tonight. Motherwell fans, I can see you phoning in. Celtic fans, we're definitely going to do a good old section on this, because we're going to cross live to Birmingham and check in with Brendan Rodgers and see what's happening down there, because it's not only the Champions League in Aston Villa. First time Celtic have ever met Aston Villa.
Is that right?
By the way, so quite a good fixture. there is a bit riding on it. Celtic need a few snookers to get into the top eight.
More than that,
technically, could still be done.
No fancy.
Very unlikely.
I wouldn't disagree. But
I tell you what, points still get you money.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's a lot happening on the transfer front as well. So we'll do a bit of that. Rangers fans, any further reaction to the news that Mohamed Diamandé is free of suspension? Rangers have won that appeal. I know the way these things work is obviously everyone thinks everybody's out to get them, but I saw a lot of people over the last few days going, ah, well, we'll not win that appeal. They'll double down. They'll stick by it.
I tell you what, I think if anyone's been hard done by this season, it's Motherwell. I've got to say.
I obviously agree with you, but nobody phones in about that, do they? Nobody wants to say that Motherwell are hard done by. Mm. It's all about the Glasgow's big two.
Have you been sent off this year?
No. I've not even had that many.
That's how, and you're saying hard done me? It'd have been great news if you'd been sent off a few times. Maybe been right up the league.
The worst stat of the weekend is that he's Motherwell's second top scorer now.
How many have you got, mate?
Four.
That's not bad for an attacking midfield player.
Who's an attacking midfielder?
Is that what we're calling him these days?
That plays 62 minutes every week. That's not bad.
Attack midfielder?
You know, attacking midfielder. Sure.
I thought you stuck your penalty away well. I mean, didn't count for much in the end, obviously. Beautiful. But right, Blair is a Motherwell fan. Blair, talk to us.
How you doing? He's actually had my brother on last night, and I actually said to the producer that they actually butchered his name because it's a Z, not an S. And I was like, my brother would go absolute sky if you seen it on YouTube.
What was his name again?
Fraser.
All right. Bigger. I should have known. I thought he was going to tell us it was like Scott with a Z or something. Right, okay, Fraser. Right. My apologies to Fraser with a Z. Did you agree with his points? Did you disagree with them? How are you feeling about it all?
Yeah, well, he touched on the stuff I would have probably said anyway, but I think with one thing I did look into, I looked at, obviously, the winning percentage we had. I mean, considering the fact that he's probably the highest winning percentage since Stuart McCall, I think some old fans, like my brother said, I don't know what they want. I don't know if they want tiki-taka football or whatever, but you're not going to really get that in Scottish football. So I think to be where we are, top six and then the cup semi final. I would have took that if someone actually asked me if I want that. I said yeah. And then I think the problem is some old fans. I think the last time I had this toxicity model was under Alexander, and that one of the games I went to, the atmosphere was so toxic, and I just like I kind of chose really what games to go to because some of the fans were just absolutely abysmal with the abuse they were given, and I can see where why. Kettlewell left because the abuse there. You can't. I mean, like Andy says, like I think players take the flak, but then again, there's a line you can't cross, and I think some of these so-called Mull fans could have crossed it, and it's a shame because Kettlewell is a top manager, like Andy said, and I think Mull are a bit ungrateful with some of the Mull fans, unfortunately.
Where are we on the subject of style, Andy?
Yeah. Listen, I could debate stuff like this for hours, to be honest with you, but since Stuart Kettlewell was in charge of Motherwell, no one scored more goals than Motherwell outside the old firm, so nobody can tell me he's not an attacking manager. If you're criticising the last 6 weeks of performances, I can 100% accept it. It's not been good enough. But regardless, whether you've got the highest budget in the league or the 10th highest budget in the league, if you take a team's top scorer, captain, best player and goalie at the team, performance levels are going to... They're obviously going to take a hindrance on that. And then you add in a further... I've said it before, that the injury record that we've had this year is like nothing I've ever experienced. And again, it's going to take an effect on the team at some point. So I think you've got to alter and try and do the best you can to get results. And I think that's exactly what we've done this season. You know, the cards we've been dealt in terms of, you know, who's been available going into a game at the weekend's been not been great. And we've managed to pick up wins and get ourselves in a good position, getting back to Hampden for the first time in 7 years. Again, I'll stress, if you're criticising the last 6-7 weeks, I can 100% accept that.
How do we find this balance? Because I'll be honest, I can remember watching Motherwell for about 30 seasons, right? Or thereabouts. It's not like I look back and think, we've played dazzling football, all that. I can probably count on one hand the number of seasons or regimes that I've thought... That was actually really... I remember like an early Stuart McCall teams. I think Mark McGee when he first came in, and a friend of the show, Ross McCormick, that team. It's not something I've ever really associated with it. But fans pay their money, and there is a number of them who just feel like this has been particularly bad, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, am I right in saying that Stevie Hamill, when he first got the job, was getting a lot of praise for the way the team played?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a bit more open.
Well, that's how Stuart Kitwell took over when they were bottom of the league and just been put out of the cup off of Raith Rovers. So again, I spoke about it when Derek McInnes lost his job at Aberdeen, that I couldn't understand people cited that down to style of play. When the next 3-4 managers came in, I know what Aberdeen are looking for a Derek McInnes type that can get them back to third in the league every single year and into cup finals and cup semi-finals. So again, I don't think Stuart Kettlewell, for me, certainly he's never been somebody that's been a negative manager. He's always been a front foot attacking manager, hence the reason he scored so many goals. Last year, obviously, we talked about how many goals he scored but I think that's been affected due to a lot of injuries.
Those who disagree with that have been citing possession stats a lot in the last couple of days.
Yeah, but again, possession starts from arguably your best defender on the ball in Paul McGinn, your best player in Lennon Miller, Callum Slattery, who's very, very technical, capable football player. So these are players that are missing. Do you know what I mean? So for me, I think that's going to affect your performances or your style of play. So how do you combat that? You do the best as you possibly can to get results. Now, a big thing we wanted to improve on this year was our defensive record, because for as many goals as we scored
last season.
We conceded a lot of goals. I think that improved dramatically, certainly for the first stages of the season. Again, the last 6 weeks, obviously, not been as strong, but I'm still extremely comfortable in the position we're in, and again, had full belief on the playing staff and the backroom team that we continue to do so. But obviously, it's disappointing, the news we've had over the last 40 hours or so. But like I said, the brutal nature of football is as a group of players as you're in again the following day to look forward to the next game at the weekend.
Any names to take over, Blair?
I did say, producer, you'll probably laugh at me at one of them, but other two I think you've probably already mentioned. Dave Martindale, John McGlynn, I think would be the standout, because based on limited budget and working with young players, he did that with Hearts, and some of the younger players he did pretty well. And obviously the last one, you might laugh at me at this, is Dan Allardyce. I know Woody, but I think he's aged. I said that because I know he's 70, but then again, you've got a guy in American football just employed at 73. So
I'm not laughing, I'm speechless because I just didn't expect it. Yeah. Big Sam.
I love Big Sam.
Imagine you and Big Sam.
Oh, me and him.
You could show him around.
Taking Big Sam round Asda. Getting his shot him on the weekend before a game, I think that would be brilliant.
You could put him up in your spare room.
Absolutely. My spare room wouldn't fit Big Sam. I'd need to put an extension on.
Wow, it's not what I expected, I have to say.
That is some shout from the dark, isn't it? Big Sam Allardyce. Could you imagine him coming up Airbus Road?
I'm still trying to process the previous manager just leaving, so I've not even thought about who could be there.
I'm not going to ask you, that is slightly beyond, I think.
There's a style of football that the Motherwell fans, I don't think, would be too happy with Big Sam.
What were those other names? John McGlynn. It should be natural that you look to the league below and see who's kind of... We don't really do that often in Scotland anymore, it feels. That he would be the outstanding manager. Are you in a position? Could they tempt John McGlynn away, or is Falkirk actually quite an attractive place to be?
Falkirk are an attractive place, but I still believe that if you're a Falkirk manager, Motherwell come calling, you're going to Motherwell. You're going to Fir Park. I think Motherwell are a very good club in the sense of. I went and had coffee with Brian Caldwell, right? You know, I'm very friendly with Brian. And, just listening to the way that the club look after, the back to manager, let's be honest, right? Motherwell have got a decent squad. I totally take on board with Andy about the injuries, and it's been a nightmare because it's been key players, and teams like Motherwell can't afford to lose most of their top players, Gordon. But to be fair to Motherwell, Brian and the board and everything, they've backed them with signings. You know what I mean? Now, I know fans are unhappy. They're entitled to being unhappy if that's the way they feel, because they pay a lot of money, as I said, especially with conditions and now travelling and everything. The last two games at St Johnstone have not helped, right? One shot on target in the full Scottish Cup tie. That's not good enough, right? Last week, probably winning the game 1-0. Andy scores a penalty kick. Still a long way to go. But the manner they lost their two goals within 2 minutes, it doesn't help your cause.
Thank you, Blair. How is this for some breaking news, Celtic fans? Brendan Rodgers has confirmed Kieran Tierney is coming back to Celtic. When? That's still to be decided. But he says it will definitely take place in the summer. And if we can do it beforehand, then great. I think you might have some thoughts on that in the second hour of tonight's show. So do give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Dielle are here on 01419511025. We had breaking news there, Celtic fans. How do you feel about that now that it's confirmed? What a couple of days it's been. Brendan Rodgers says Kieran Tierney is coming back to Celtic. It does remain to be seen whether it will be the summer or January, but he's coming back, says Brendan Rodgers. So how do you feel about that? Give us a call. We've done quite a bit on the Motherwell situation with Andy. We can revisit Mohamed Diomande's successful appeal if you so wish. Whatever you want, give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Mixed company on Beat the Pundit tonight. I have to say, I've got the league table in front of me, and we have the top dog, the gaffer of Beat the Pundit, Andy Halliday. Played 9, won 9, 100% win rate.
How do you feel about that?
Lucky, I suppose.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
Lucky.
It's embarrassing about it.
Ach, him and the Heed. The two of them just annoy them.
No, right? He's another level.
How do you know who I was talking about?
By the way, can I just tell you the power of Beat the Pundit? I was at working today at Lennox Town where Celtic were training. Casper Schmeichel, Stevie Woods, they're doing the goalies always do the kind of head tennis type thing, and the ball rolls over to near where we are standing. Stevie Woods goes to collect the ball and he just looks up and says, -2 is unfair on Roger Hanna, and then just walks back.
Great, right? I'm in that campaign. You go back, -1.
Think we could get Casper Schmeichel on, beat the pundit, how would he fare? Just to clarify, because I'm going to come round to your way of thinking, right? I never thought I would say this.
Yeah.
You think for the league table, there should be like a minimum amount of games played to qualify.
You're doing well this year, no? Yeah.
No, I won about 13 in a row and I still was second.
So, as an example, like Scott Allen's only played 8, right. Cammy Bell's only played 5, so you want them taken out?
That means I'm both.
I knew
it was going somewhere.
I couldn't keep a straight face long enough.
That means I cannot understand why I'm even down there.
Because by your own rules, that's what you keep saying. There is... You're in 68%. If I took Scott and Cammy out because they've not played that often,
can I tell you something? See, every time I listen to Tuesday and a Thursday, you win as well.
I know, mate. I think they wind that up. Know where it should be? 3 points. I'd be up there. Sky
high. Anyway, Gary's going to play tonight. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, Gordon. Thank you.
Are you calling from Vancouver, Gary?
Sure, I'm, yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, nice.
I always just ask the time. I'm so predictable. Where are we? What are we at?
Just after 11 a.m. Gordon.
Oh, that's fine.
That's says 7:05.
That's a polite. That's a polite hour to take part. Are you working? What are you up to?
Yeah, kind of day off. So I'm just out in the listening to you guys out in the balcony, overlooking the river and the mountains.
Oh, I thought you were going to say golf course there, Gary. I was going to
If you're on social media, tweet us a picture of that. I want to get that image. He's overlooking the mountains, the river, and he wants to speak to you to bring a bit of calm to his day.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, it will be Gordon Dielle. And it is heads, it's Andy Halliday taking on.
Quick, hide behind the mountains. You've got to need them.
I don't say that.
I'm going to read the questions really quick for Gary because he'll have a time delay, won't he?
That's right.
Let's give Andy something else to listen to. Gary, you have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name any Celtic player signed in last season's January window.
Pass.
Who's got more Nigeria caps, Dessers or Balogun?
Balogun.
Which team's got the most yellow cards in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Kilmarnock.
Who does Stuart Kettlewell replace as Motherwell manager?
Pass.
Which championship team play at East End Park? True or false, every team in the Scottish top flight has kept a clean sheet this season?
Correct, true.
Okay, let's bring him back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
He's gone for a 10. Well, this You're going for a 10 tonight.
I'm not looking at you.
I'm telling you, 10.
This is what I was going to say.
I've done it with him once before and I remember it was a nightmare.
Yeah, because you're good at beat the pundit, but there's one thing being good and then having to play next to this pest. He's a professional pest.
I'll go. He'll go for 10 tonight.
No, I'll
but not. You might struggle with
the
first
two. I've never done that. Never.
No, no. I have.
Playing I've never done. Beat the pundit with him is like trying to play football with your boots tied together.
Mate, some of them in there are scoosh case. You're 10 tonight. Scoosh
Gary case. Must be good then.
Okay.
Gary got an 8.
Are you ready, Andy?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Name any player Celtic signed in last season's January window.
Kuhn.
Who's got more Nigeria caps, Dessers or Balogun?
Balogun.
Which team's got the most yellow cards in the Premiership this season?
Ross County.
Who did Stuart Kettlewell replace as Motherwell manager? Which championship team play at East End Park?
Dunfermline.
True or false, every team in the Scottish top flight has kept a clean sheet this season?
True.
How many players do Rangers have on loan to Birmingham?
3.
Who was the last English Premier League club Celtic played in Europe?
Hurry up, Andy. Time's up. Time's up.
Man City's the last one I can remember. But
how do you think it went, Gary?
Not great, to be honest, Gordon.
Okay, no. Let's go through them. Let's find out. Trying to get good. the first one, get it out of the way, get it out from under your feet is difficult. Name any Celtic player signed in last season's window, January, Ida or Kuhn. Gary passed it 1-0 to Andy Halliday. You both knew Leon Balogun. He's got 40 more caps than Cyril Dessers. You both got it. I have to say, I don't know if anyone knows this stuff off the top of their head. Is it just a 1 in 12 chance? The most yellow cards apparently is Aberdeen.
I had that.
No, you didn't.
No.
I've no idea if I would have. No, I don't think I would have guessed
that. Did Gary the Mountain get that?
He did not. Stuart Kettlewell replaced Stevie Hamill. 3-1 Andy Halliday. Gary wasn't completely hopeless, you'll be pleased to know. He knew East End Park, but so did Andy. He also knew, it's a perfectly respectable score from Gary, that it is true, every team in the top flight have kept a clean sheet. Who's got the fewest? Anyone?
I would say Celtic.
Dundee,
maybe. Oh, sorry. It is Dundee. Well done, Gary. Yeah. Extra point for that. They've only got one. So Gary's got 3, but Andy's at 5 at this point, and then he's got time. Who are your 3 Rangers players at Birmingham?
Dowell, Wright, and Davies.
Wright, not permanent. There we go, 2, I think.
Oh, you missed it up for a 10.
And the last English Premier League club Celtic played in Europe. I will give you City. I thought it was just about. You always get time to answer on the last one.
Was it Man City?
It was Man City. Even if we took it away, Gary, which I would love to do to him, it was not enough. But thank you for taking part anyway. That was not bad. It was good enough effort, was it?
Absolutely, yeah. Enjoyed that, thanks.
How do you feel about Kieran Tierney coming back?
Fantastic news. Fantastic news for the club, for the fans. If he's anything like the player we sold in, and it's great business for Celtic. I think we're getting a £20-25 million player on a free transfer, so it's great news, especially if you can stay injury free.
Never good losing your star striker in a January window, but is this becoming a bit of a good window for Celtic if you add Jota into the mix? And I don't know if Tierney will be now, but it certainly will, you know, it's happening, so you're starting to feel quite good personnel wise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look long term at it, especially ages of Tierney and Jota compared to maybe Kyogo. So long term, I think it's great business for Celtic.
Good man. Thank you very much to Gary out there in Vancouver. Mm. From Vancouver to Birmingham, no difference. Let's go to Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Gabriel, you know the transfer news is big when it's sort of overshadowing a Champions League game against Aston Villa. That's almost become secondary tonight to some of the other stuff Brendan Rodgers had to say.
Yes, certainly, Gordon. It's not very often that you've got Celtic in a Champions League match, a match in which they've already qualified for the knockout stages, but all people could talk about was a player returning to the club. Yes, Brendan Rodgers confirmed for the first time that Kieran Tierney has agreed to come back to his boyhood team. A pre-contract, it appears, has been negotiated between Tierney and the club, and it's now just about whether they can get the Arsenal man out of the Emirates this month.
Ideally, it would be still at this moment still an Arsenal player, so like everyone, I think we're agreed that that will definitely take place in the summer. If we can do it beforehand, then great. We prepared that for the summer. I don't want to speak too much on it, but with the greatest respect, because he's not a Celtic player here now with us. But if we were able to do it, of course, we would like to do that. But that's out of our control at this moment in time. Yeah, no, Alex won't play again. Sadly, he's in Barcelona now at the moment, and he will probably then move on to another team. So. Yeah, again, another young player that's contributed really well for us. You know, played, nearly 20 appearances for us. Played in some very important games. Makes his Champions League debut. And especially in the way at Atalanta, he was fantastic. Played in really important games. So we're disappointed that he's left. But we have to move on.
Interesting, Gabriel. So, you'd imagine the desire to make something happen in January would be growing, because if Alex Vaye is now gone and won't play again, Celtic cannot go with one left back. So if it's not Kieran Tierney that in this window, it's going to have to be someone.
Yeah, Gordon, you'd certainly think that they're going to have to try and bring in Kieran Tierney this month. And as you say, will they look elsewhere when you know that you've got Tierney coming in the summer? Would Brendan Rodgers, with the league looking like it's close to being wrapped up already, risk it with just Greg Taylor? Liam Scales could perhaps play left back. You would really think that Celtic will do everything they can to get Tierney back at this club before the transfer window shuts on Monday evening. Now, of course, it's all dependent on Arsenal. The big question is, will they let two fullbacks go in this window? Alexander Zinchenko, the Ukrainian left-back, is being linked with Borussia Dortmund. Now, he could actually command a fee. That might sway Arsenal's thinking, £15-20 million being reported. So perhaps if Arsenal let Zinchenko go, then they'll want to keep hold of Tierney, who has come on in recent games for the Gunners until the end of the season. But if Zinchenko stays, then they expect to certainly see Tierney in Glasgow before next week.
Well, come on then, Mr. Arsenal. You're an Arsenal fan. I think we're allowed to out you for that on here. Is that going to happen?
Well, I think it's more dependent on Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund were looking at Renato Vaiga, who has now moved to Juventus from Chelsea. So Zinchenko seems to be the number one target. But if not, if he does stay, then I think Kieran Tierney may have played his last game for Arsenal.
I can't believe I'm going to phrase it as if, oh, what about the small matter of a Champions League game? But, you know, Kieran Tierney has been the headline there. What about tomorrow then? Because Jota obviously can't play. Kyogo's gone, Dyson Maeda suspended, Cameron Carter-Vickers didn't train today. Is there an update there?
Yeah, Gordon, Carter-Vickers didn't travel down south either. So as you go through there, Carter-Vickers missing, Dyson Maeda suspended, Kyogo's gone, and Jota is not registered yet. So those are three really big players missing for Celtic here at this fantastic Premier League stadium. So it's going to be interesting to see. You'd think their lineup will be the front three of Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Eder and Yang, far from a first-choice 11. But Celtic in the Champions League, unbeaten in five, impressive victory last week. They're, of course, 18th in the league phase at the moment. They want to get every extra point they can to try and push them up that table, because as it stands, they'll be facing either Real Madrid or Bayern Munich in the knockout phase. I was actually up at the Aston Villa training ground as well, Gordon. That was earlier, speaking to Unai Emery. They're currently ninth in this league phase. So they're just one away from that automatic top eight finish. Emery says that he expects Celtic to come here to win as well. So he thinks it'll be a top game, a top atmosphere. And he was also praising manager Brendan Rodgers for what he called a special fixture.
I have no doubt tomorrow they will come here to play, trying to beat us. They are a winning team. Their mentality is usually winning out of matches in a row in their league. and they are going to play tomorrow here, feeling confident. Very prestigious club. They won as well Champions League. Of course, I know some special match and rival match for the supporters as well. But it's fantastic to play Champions League matches. It's fantastic to play against teams like Celtic.
It's going to be a cracker. Well, thank Gabriel for his time. Although before we let you go, I think there's something I want to bring up with you. You, Gordon Dalziel, in relation to Gabriel.
My good friend Gabriel.
Do you believe in karma?
Go.
I just feel like you somehow influenced the universe. Do you remember on Thursday night, okay, the weather was a bit ropey.
Yeah.
To say the least, or it was going to be ropey.
Oh, are you talking about his new car?
You ridiculed Gabriel because he drives a smart car, a very small vehicle, okay?
I would probably say very, very small
and
vehicle.
And you said you were worried about him driving up to Aberdeen, and I said, don't worry about it. Mm. He's got the Clyde One car and he'll be absolutely fine. He was driving from here to Aberdeen. He broke down in Perth at 11:30 and didn't get home to Aberdeen until 2:30 in the morning. Had to get a taxi from Perth to Aberdeen after midnight.
No way.
And sit and talk to the taxi driver about St Johnston the full way.
Where's the car?
Wait,
it's all so true.
It was just sitting on a bridge somewhere.
It was I. Someone texted me saying that Dad's is slagging your car off, and I said I'm not even in my car. Thankfully, I've got the big car going up. 5 minutes later, broken down at the side of the road. Took me 4 hours to get up to Aberdeen. Oh, thanks for that, Daz.
Have you seen his car?
I've not,
mate. Honestly, one in, one out. I don't even know if it's got a steering wheel. You can stick it in your back. Away you go. Anyway,
on that note, that was just a little side point. Thank you to Gabriel for bringing us up to speed. What news coming out of Villa Park? Take your pick. There's a Champions League game between two British sides and teams that I've never met before. Throw in Kieran Tierney to the mix.
That'll excite the Celtic fans. You know, he's still at, what is he, 27, Gordon? Mm-hmm. I would say around about that. Brilliant player, loves the club love him. Okay, there's all those questions about, well, he's not played a lot of games. He was at a club the size of Arsenal, it was all going to be difficult. He's not played a lot of games because he's picked up a few injuries. We've heard that as well. But I think Kieran Tierney come back to Celtic Park is a brilliant bit of business.
Yeah, listen, sell Kieran Tierney and Jota for £50 million and get them back for a combined £8 million. It's not too bad a bit of business. And yeah, listen, he's obviously a player that's grew up a Celtic fan. He's adored by the Celtic fans as well. And of course, he's going to be a brilliant signing for them. But it will be interesting, though, to see if they get him in over the next few days rather than wait till the end of the season now that Alex Valle looks as if he's moved on to Como. So I don't think they'll want to be short-handed in that position of the pitch with a lot to play for.
Tell you what, I think Alex Valle took one look at Dingwall at the weekend and went, Lake Como, I fancy that.
I thought Alex Valle was good. I thought any time he played for Celtic, I thought he contributed well. But listen, I think they've certainly got an upgrade. I think Kieran Tierney again.
Dingwall was a couple of weeks ago. You're right. You wonder what. Look, it is going to be dependent on Arsenal. But if not, then Celtic would need to address that. Or do you think this all is all just sort of leading to Kieran Tierney coming back in this window?
A bit of both, but I think they would be delighted to get the business done before next Monday. There are options there if Finn happens to Taylor Scales can go at left back.
They'd never do the second half of the season with just that, would
no,
they?
No. But it's an option for them just now until they get Tierney over the line. I'm with Gabs here. I think that I've got a feeling that Tierney will bend the building before next Monday. And I think that'll excite the Celtic fans. As much as they were disappointed to hear the news about Kyogo, what offset that was all of a sudden Jota coming back. And Andy mentions it there. To sell two players for £50 million, not that long ago, and then bring them back for a combined £8 million, it's not a bad bit of business, is it?
Well, what do you think, Celtic fans? Give us a call right now, whether it is the transfer business or the game tomorrow, and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Andy Halliday are here on 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, let us know what's on your mind tonight. I've got a full time teaser for you. It's quite short and straightforward. Usually need something a bit longer and testing for Andy Halliday, but he's alongside you tonight, so yeah. We'll keep it simple. Ross in Romford wants you to name the five players before Jota who've signed for Celtic for a second time since 1990.
Since 1990.
Yep. So just to clarify, just in case you're wondering, the return has to be after 1990. It might be that the original departure was prior to that.
That's not my expertise, that.
Funnily enough, I didn't think it would be your expertise, I have to say.
Right.
It's almost like the...
Come on, that's quite easy.
Is it? Fraser Forster.
Yeah.
He's not on the list. Why have you done this to me?
Oh, he is. He's one of them. He's one.
Yeah, he should really be, shouldn't he?
Ah, of course he is.
Oh, was the second, was any of them alone, maybe? Is that why these are only permanent?
So is it permanent? Carter Vickers obviously was there.
Yeah, two permanent spells only.
Two permanent.
Yep. Right. There are two in your era, Andy, if that helps. And I've just totally decided when your era is, but two in your era. Gordon, you should know. They're all very high profile. What about your day, Gordon Dale? Who left Celtic and came back?
Charlie Nick?
Yes. Good start.
Oh, we came back as far as that?
1990.
When was 1990?
You have no grasp of like dates or anything.
I have no clue.
I struggle with my date of birth. Charlie Nick.
Do you know what I received? Umpteen messages about today. Is there anything you want to tell us? Mark Wilson. Your old pal, he was straight on you. Text me straight away.
He's gone, have you been hacked?
I've had various people. So according to Instagram, you appear to have signed up for some sort of like online personal training. What is this three-quarter life crisis you are going through? We've had the hair transplant, the Botox, the private plate in the car. What's happening here?
The health kick. Yeah, it's my health.
Have you seen this?
Scott got in touch with me. I'm meeting him on Friday. I'm going to be an ambassador for his fitness. He's going to show before and after, mate.
So someone,
look at the guns.
So someone
full
has
name.
He contacted you online. Look at this, Andy. Welcome to the team, Gordon DL, ex footballer, yeah, and Clyde One football phone in star.
I tell you what, that's the face of your PT, it's not great, is it? You know what he said to me earlier? He said, I've been bad in the gym. He's like, I've got the blue lines. And
blue lines?
Blue lines.
Veins. Veins to everybody else.
I have lost the place since New Year, I've got to
have
say.
Have you had a hair transplant?
No, yet, no.
All right.
No.
And you
have
call
you?
Me, and you call me the wig?
Have you?
I can't wait to call you the wig too. Wig too.
So seriously, you're going to be one of these Instagram before and after.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to take your top off, are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, everything's coming off.
Oh, stop it.
I'm telling you
now. Is that why you were asking about sunbeds?
Oh, yeah. Spray tan. I've got to be like a bodybuilder. it's all happening. It's a new year. You've got to set your targets high, Gordon.
That teaser's done me.
We can get back to that.
Because
we still have phone calls to move on with. Michael is on tonight. Michael, what made you call?
A couple of points, Gordon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I spoke to your producer earlier. Good evening, Andy and Roger as well.
Hi, okay, yeah. Michael.
Yes, Michael.
obviously, the call was about the signings. The buzzing with the Jota signing and the Tierney signing, obviously, I've gutted about the Kyogo move, to be honest.
Yeah, I wondered about this mix, Andy. Where do you... So, as a opposition player... Firstly, an opposition fan as well. Happy to see Kyogo go. I mean, is that the way it works ultimately? Is that how good he is that other teams should and would be celebrating this?
Yeah, listen, I think he's Celtic's best striker. I think there's a very strong argument that he's the best striker in the league as well. So does it make Celtic weaker in the short term, potentially? But listen, I do think Celtic is a business in the way they've handled their recruitment, whether it be incomings or outgoings. I think they've done it pretty well. And I think 10 million for a 30-year-old isn't too bad a return when you spent whatever it was, 4 million for him, you get 3.5 years worth of goals. But like, I am surprised that they've done it in the January transfer window. I know it makes it more difficult when he's stressed that he wants to leave the club, but you know, being in Champions League, getting in that playoff round, surely they've been happy enough to stay in the summer. Listen, I know that's difficult because you don't know if the same offer's going to be there in the summer. But what I will say is I think Adam Ida coming in for such a hefty price tag, I think he must feel he needs that run in the team. He must feel as if he wants to be that main man and he gets the 5, 6, 7 games under his belt where he can go and prove that, you know, he can fill his voice. So it's obviously a huge opportunity for him, and it's going to start tomorrow night as well.
Is there a bit of you worried, if that's the right word then, Michael? Because there is a lot of excitement. There's a lot to be happy about with Jota and now potentially Tierney. But do you think that's all leading to the absence of Kyogo being overlooked a bit?
As I said to your producer about a couple of minutes ago there, Gordon, we need to get another striker in and another winger, to be honest, because quite unlike, to be honest.
I don't know if they'd sign another. Well, to be fair, actually, I take it back before it's even left my mouth. They are linked with more wingers, I guess. But
£7 million. Don't ask me to pronounce his name. £7 million.
Gordon's got it covered for you. That surely left back's now the number. Well, striker and left back are now the number one priorities.
Yeah, but
you might be able, because as an example, if you go Kun, Yang, Forrest, Maeda, Jota,
plenty
Palma, might be enough. Palma might be enough to see you through. But left back might only really be looking at Taylor currently.
Then they need to get Tierney over the line. And that's why I'll be surprised if Tierney's not in the building by Monday.
What do you think about Kyogo? Because we've kind of spoken about it, you know, over the last couple of weeks. But now that it's actually happened and he's gone and he's played his last game and it all happened very quickly in the end up, it feels. How'd you look at that?
At the time, I looked at it and I thought I was a bit surprised. I wouldn't have let him go on with Andy. I think the £10 million would still have been there in the summer, I think, because you're weakening your team. He's your best centre-forward. Of that, there's no doubt. But just listening to Brendan Rodgers, everything about what he said about Kyogo and what's been happening behind closed doors in the last few months, sometimes you're better just saying, right, OK, I'll cut my losses. I think Brendan Rodgers would have been delighted with the back end of getting Jota in. Now Tierney's coming in. Maeda can play through the middle. I think Andy's right. Eden needs a big, big performance now. He's been brought in for big money. He's come under a little bit of criticism from the Celtic supporters. He's not produced what he produced when he was in loan. He's come in at a big price tag. So he needs to really step up. And it'll be a good opportunity for him. But I would be very surprised as well. Surely they'll have a centre-forward. With the competitions they're in, you can't take that gamble. There's two, and I know Celtic are cash rich, but they're in a great position. They're going for a treble as well. The European situation's very good for them. So you can't take that gamble. I think he's got to get players in. Look, if Celtic knew what was happening to Kyogo about a month ago or 6 weeks or whatever it may be, I would be amazed they're not planning to have somebody in before the window closes in that position.
Well, has it been linked with another winger, this Norwegian boy? Does that mean that they see the short-term future of Daisa Maeda playing as a striker? I think Brendan Rodgers has said previously, he sees that as his best position. He plays it for the Japanese national team. So,
and does he fall back in Young Kenny as a backup, as a third? So you look at your three strikers then. You've got youth. And Celtic fans have been on here in their droves saying, look, he should be ahead of Ida in the pecking order. And Ida was brought in for £9 million.
I only remember one person saying that.
No.
That's a wee drove.
No, droves. And plural. I think there was two. But it'll be interesting to see what they do. But look, Kyogo will be a big miss, of course. But the fact that they brought Jota in, they're bringing Tierney back. Their business is very good.
What do you make of this Kieran Tierney business, Michael? He is coming back. We just don't know if it's the summer or January.
Absolutely delighted. It's a cracking signing, as the boys were saying. He's only 27-year-old, still with the best years ahead of him. So, cracking signing.
See, I think what now, to sort of mix all that together and bring it back to the game a bit, it feels weird, this build-up now, because Celtic can, I know you've written it off and understand why, I think they need, what is it, seven results to go their way, and they need to go to Villa Park and win, right? So I get why people are saying it's unlikely. It's still a Champions League game, though. There are places to play for, there's money to play for. They could technically still get the top eight. There's that whole, like we saw last week, you want to beat an English team, you want to sort of make a statement on behalf of Scottish football. But Celtic now go into it quite under strength in that attacking area, don't they?
Yeah.
And no depth at left back, which is fine. I mean, Taylor would probably have started the game.
My biggest worry wouldn't be the attack. I think that, you know, probably Yang will come in, maybe. I would imagine.
That's what I mean, but right. All things considered, you know, three weeks ago, the Celtic fans want to get into this game
full strength
with
Kyogo
and Maeda.
You're going to say the no cut of Vickers?
Yeah, my biggest concern would be at the back. Although you can argue that I think it was Trusted Scales that played at Atalanta when they get their 0-0 draw. Am I right in that? Hopefully. So Carter Vickers would be a big loss for them. I still think they'll fancy it because the middle of the park, they're very good in there. Look, they'll have to play the top of their ability. And Aston Villa will need to boff it a little bit because Aston Villa will be favourites, no doubt about that. Aston Villa, good side, good pace, good players in their squad. So they'll fancy that. But if I'm not writing Celtic off just now. I know that they're under strength. I know the situation with Kyogo. Maeda's a massive miss, of course he is. Carter Vickers would be my big, big concern at centre-back. But they've still got a big squad there with capable players of going and getting a result.
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers said in his press conference just yesterday, didn't he, that he wanted to prove this year that Celtic belong in the Champions League. Mm. And I think that goes for every game. So regardless of securing this playoff round, I think they want to go to Villa, prove that they belong in this competition, take that form into the, obviously, the playoff round. And what is the figures for winning a game in the Champions League? It's a couple of million quid. Mm-hmm. So I think even if you go and win that, use that couple of million, get Kieran Tierney and Dolan Mora.
That's a good point. Maybe that can accelerate it. Well, I don't think Celtic are struggling money-wise. No,
I don't think it would be... After their £18 million loan that they gave Jota for 18 months.
More on an Arsenal side of things.
Is he won the quiz, by the way?
Who?
The teaser, Jota. Come back.
No, before Jota. The whole question is about Jota. Okay. It's the other players that have done it.
Right, I've got one. Charlie McGrew.
No.
Yes, he did. Andy Walker?
Andy Walker, yes.
I think I've got one as well. Cool. Frank McAvaney?
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there because you've only got two to get. We're talking five other players who've signed for Celtic for a second time since 1990, two permanent spells only. Andy Walker, Frank McAvaney, Charlie Nicholas. James is on the line. How are you, James?
I'm absolutely fine. How are yourselves?
Good here, James. Thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
I just think that playing Maeda through the middle with Jota and Kuhn out on the right and left, I think that's a great, obviously I think Maeda would do well in the middle with the two pushing the ball into him and with the movement Maeda's got, I think it would be very good.
What do you think?
Well, he's certainly got pace. I think any team that played against that three would need to sit a little bit deep when they've not got the ball, because if you give them space in behind the back four or back five, then these guys will absolutely murder you with their pace. Of course they will. Maeda, he's played there before. He can get goals. But I'd be surprised if Brendan Rodgers doesn't turn around and say just now, Ida, listen, this is where you need to step up. We brought you in for big money. We waited patiently for you, right? Tried everything to get you. Obviously paying him a handsome wage as well. You produced the goods on loan when you were here. You're playing with a lot of confidence. Fans loved you. They've turned against him a little bit, and the fact that they're a bit negative towards the way he's going about his business just now. Surely, if you're brought in as a centre forward, mm-hmm. and Maeda, if Jota's not back in Celtic Park, Maeda's playing wide left every game. So surely there's an opportunity there for Ida to step up to the mark for me.
I have become a bit obsessed with latching onto this one comment that Brendan Rodgers keeps making, Andy, and maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on it, which is perfectly possible. But I've said it before a couple of times in recent weeks. Every time Kyogo's come up, he has said words along the lines of, Kyogo's he's the perfect type of striker for the way we want to play. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder what that says about Adam Ida, because Adam Ida, you might think, is absolutely wonderful and brilliant, but he's certainly not the same style as Kyogo. So I'm just quite interested. Maybe I'm giving that too much attention.
Yeah, I was actually going to kind of touch on that in terms of, you know, when you're talking about the perfect striker that suits Celtic style. I don't think Maeda is too far away from that when it comes to the energy and the willingness to run and the counter press out of possession. I don't think he's quite the same, you know, natural finisher as Kyogo, but I think he's got equally as good a movement. But I always feel like
Is his movement as clever?
Maybe not as clever, but certainly as sharp.
I know he's as mobile, but how much of Kyogo's was in his brain?
But I think you talk about Kyogo's movement. We always say, you know, how many times does he get the cutback goals in around the 6 yard box? I think that's been a feature of Maeda as well when he's playing on the wing, with getting the sort of
adding it a bit more as well this season.
Yeah, but getting the runs to the back post, the tap ins at the back post. I think he would get similar types of service, and I think his movement would be somewhere in the middle of the pitch.
Well, it would not surprise you that what Gordon's saying there about Kyogo was perfectly fitted for the way we play. Why would Brendan Rodgers have taken so long and waited so patiently to sign Adam Eder?
Well, I think you maybe need him as an option, but I just mean the fact that he keeps saying that in the last few weeks makes you think they're going to try and sign a Kyogo type replica player. Or is Maeda that guy?
But I do think if you're going to be a club, and a big club that, you know, depends on having a bigger squad, and you've got three strikers, they can't all be the same profile.
That's
you need
I mean.
To have somebody that's a bit different, and whether it's be an Eder where he's a, you know, he's a bigger type, he's more of a focal point, and somebody that can play off of that. I think that's important in games, and I think you've seen that sporadically in certain games where they've maybe not direct, but want to be a bit more forceful in the way they get the ball forward that Eder's played.
Just quickly, James, before we have to go, what about Kieran Tierney? Do you want to make that happen in January?
Yeah, I think it will happen before the transfer deadline shuts. Can I just come back in with one more point?
Go on, make it quick.
Seeing you obviously watched the game last season down at Kilmarnock, Eder was totally different, obviously, to Wick Yogo. That's why Eder played down at Kilmarnock when we won the league last season. And see the difference he was. You can see the difference with him and Kyogo playing different positions, like different targets, basically. You can see he was a totally different player last season. He was doing it Kilmarnock. I thought it was absolutely fantastic doing it Kilmarnock last season when we won the league. He was a different, like, he was running in behind, he was holding the ball up, it was fantastic, so it was brilliant last season.
I was going to bring up an example, James, that you remember, Gordon, at Firth Park.
If you must.
Firth Park, where Kyogo started the game and we were forceful in the way we pressed. We pressed high and nullified Celtic in the first half, and Brendan Rodgers actually brings either one at half time for Kyogo to have that more a target striker at the time, and it kind of changed the game for Celtic.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you to James. It's a good time to call because there is still an extra bit of the show that you can squeeze your thoughts in. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're looking, Andy Haldy's obviously invested in the Challenge Cup semi-final. Queen's Park and East Kilbride are playing tonight. Great achievement for East Kilbride, a lowland league team making it this far in the Challenge Cup. I suspect that's who Andy Halliday wants to win, but they're losing inside the first minute. Zach Rudden scored for Queen's Park.
It's all right, mate. I've got a great saying. If you've got to lose a goal in football, lose it early.
Brilliant. You're a real philosopher.
If you've got to score a goal, don't score it early, like you showed in Saturday.
I think East Kilbride come back and win that.
East Kilbride come back and win it, he says.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't know what's happening.
He'll be in for a Monday afternoon podcast, won't he? Yes, guy.
I've got family there as well, to be fair. I've told you my links there many times. But Queen's Park winning, right. How about this teaser? Can you name, apart from Jota then, can you name the five other players who've signed for Celtic for a second time since 1990? You've got Andy Walker, Frank McAvenny, Charlie Nicholas. I would have put Charlie Mulgrew in, but I don't think he played in his first spell. He was an academy product there, so maybe that's why it's not been included. So you've got two to get.
There's a wee wink there. Come on, Andy.
Sean Maloney.
Yes. Okay, one more. We'll get it before the end of the show. There is still time to squeeze some calls in. Liam's a Rangers fan. How are you, Liam?
Very good. Thanks for taking the call, Gordon.
Pleasure. What made you call?
I've not really heard much about it on Scoreboard. I don't know if it was touched on last night. It's just the speculation surrounding the two Rangers left backs. Obviously, I don't imagine in the one window you could potentially sell both of them, but obviously you've got Yilmaz linked back to Beşiktaş, and then I think Chris Jackson was reporting then yesterday's speculation for Chelsea.
You're right, I saw it last night. We did mention it briefly, to be fair, so I'm glad you've brought it up, Liam. Tell you what, if Jeffy can go from being unable to track Andy Halliday into the box at Hampden to a move to Chelsea, he's done not bad. What do you make of it, Andy? I'm being obviously a bit tongue-in-cheek with that assessment.
Yeah,
has he impressed you?
You know what I think of him? I like him, really like him. I think he's got a lot of attributes, especially for such a young player. Very athletic, excellent at going forward, very technical, but clearly has defensive deficiencies. I think we've seen that again at Old Trafford last week. But so much to work with at such a young age. Am I surprised at the Chelsea links? I am, definitely. But listen, what was it, 400, 500 grand Rangers paid for him? I think there's no doubt they're going to make a good profit off of that. I am surprised at who the club is, but listen, it's the way Rangers have had to operate for a long period of time. This player trading model that they spoke about for years, I think you're starting to see it sort of work in the right direction with the likes of Hamza Egerman and Yefti. I think there's a couple of players that they've got real assets in the hand.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon Liam's sort of taking it to the extreme end of it, as if they were, you know, if they were to both leave, is that a problem for Rangers? Can they let both left backs go? I suppose there's a bit of work to be done, because firstly, Philippe Clement said at the weekend, despite the speculation that it wasn't true with Yilmaz, he said that he was there, you know, he was going to stay. And then Jeffrey, I don't know if there's like an imminent move to Chelsea as such, just a bit of interest out there.
Yeah, you can't let two go. Of course you can't, because looking at the squad and looking at the competitions they're in, they need a good run in the Scottish Cup. They've really got to win a bit of silverware. I don't think they've got to win the league. The Europa League, they're going well in. So you can't leave yourself short, Gordon. That would be really, as much as I agree with Andy, Chesty, when he came in at first, I was a bit sort of on the fence with him. He's improved immensely. Going forward, he's as good as anything in about. Defensively, I've said it from day one, I think he really needs to brush up on that. But Tavernier gets so much stick from the other side about, you know, his defensive qualities, but the assists and, you know, his stats were absolutely brilliant. I'm a bit surprised it's Chelsea, but Andy said there about you're buying potential if you're coming in to buy him. They obviously look at him and think, well, there's a lot there that we can certainly improve on. But for Rangers' point of view, with the competition, everything in the games coming up, you cannot afford to leave yourself short.
Having said that, Liam, the sporting side of it versus the business side, we have all spoken about player trading for Rangers for many years, and if everybody keeps saying that they've got it wrong and they're behind, if you like, are Rangers at some point going to have to accelerate that? Like, maybe sell one slightly earlier than they think, or you know what I mean? Really force one, really take an opportunity as soon as, I'm not saying you jump at any price, but really try and kickstart that quickly rather than hanging around again.
No, definitely are. I mean, if you look at the Nathan Patterson situation, you're talking about a right back. I think across 6 months for Rangers, I think he played 12 games, and obviously then you were able to sell him on to Everton for around £12 million. It's just the one that I was thinking a producer, if I was to pick one to ideally sell right now, I would be really trying to push Yilmaz. Just if you look at Andy mentioned yourself, Yefti was about maybe £500,000 as opposed to Yilmaz, who's cost the club around £5.5 million. You're talking about the player trading model. If you can potentially recoup the £5.5 million and then spread it across other aspects of the plane, or if you can better yet return even a small profit on a high player, I think that would be the way to go. And like you're saying, with Yefti, if you can keep him another year, there's a chance, obviously, more European football, the price would actually go up for them.
I'm not disagreeing with Liam, but that's also not a great indictment, is it, Andy? That can you look to break even on Yilmaz just now? That's not a great success, is it?
No. To be honest, I'd be surprised if you would. I don't think he's done enough since he's came to Rangers, especially to justify the price tag he was bought for. Listen, I think if Rangers had the option to sell one of them just now, you know, regardless of fee, I think it would be Yilmaz. I think Jeffrey's offered a lot more, not only this season, but throughout Yilmaz's time at the club. But again, like you quite rightly pointed out, I think this is what Rangers have been, you know, dying to do for years, is buy low, sell high. And like I says, I think they've got at least a couple of assets in the team that I think they can eventually do that.
Thank you, Liam. That will be the final call tonight because we are almost out of time. There's a championship game on. Hamilton Accies 0, Raith Rovers 2. Gordon Dalziel's old team not hanging around there. 7 minutes gone and 2-0 up. Right, what about this teaser? Thank you to Ross in Romford for sending it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the five other players apart from Jota who've signed for Celtic for a second time since 1990? So Andy Walker, Frank McAvenny, Charlie Nicholas, Sean Maloney.
Wrap it up, a dazzler.
You confident with me?
Aye.
Just when we were talking there, it came to me. Left back.
Yes.
Izaguirre.
Emilio Izaguirre. Well,
what?
Done.
Yeah.
Gordon.
Do you remember that?
Do you not? Oh,
no.
Remember his first spell? He was like player of the year.
Where did he go?
He was excellent, and then he left and he came back. And
yeah.
Where did he go in between?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Home somewhere, I think. But it was when he came back, was then when Kieran Tierney started to emerge.
Good shout. Dazzler.
You're sitting with the
well
big,
done, Roger.
You're in with the big guys tonight. You're not with the heat.
Well done. I can see Andy Haldy's got his phone sitting right in front of me and he's trying to order his takeaway for his dinner. So good. Well seen, you've got your priorities.
Pick up my way home.
Enjoy your Tuesday evening, gentlemen. It's been a very busy
day.
And tomorrow, look, these big games going to come thick and fast as well. Looking forward to tomorrow, Aston Villa against Celtic. Who knows what will happen on the transfer front? Will the Motherwell managerial search pick up any pace? You won't want to miss it. So join us 6 o'clock tomorrow, and we will see you then.